WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Defenseless is a new thriller with a preposterous plotline, but it's very entertaining, in part because all the actors are so good. Barbara Hershey plays an attorney who's having an affair with her client, a landlord who swears he didn't know his tenants were pornographers. My guest Mary Beth Hurt is Hershey's long-lost college friend, and as Hershey later finds out, is married to the client Hershey is having the affair with. In a way, this thriller is a weird comment on best friend movies. Mary Beth Hurt made her film debut in Woody Allen's drama Interiors. She also co-starred in Chilly Scenes of Winter, The World According to Garp, and Parents. On TV, she co-starred in the series Tattengers, and on stage she was nominated for a Tony Award for her performance in Beth Henley's Crimes of the Heart. She has two children with her husband, the screenwriter and director Paul Schrader. It's often hard to balance her home life and career. I asked her why she decided to take the role on Defenseless.
When I read the script, what I liked most about it was the relationship between the two women. There were two very good female parts, and that is usually not true. And I think everybody has had a friend, or if you haven't had a friend, at least you know with your mother, that you push each other's buttons. You know, you go home and your mother says, "Why do you always do this?" Or your best friend says, "You know, you could have gone out with this guy if you'd just been a little nicer," or something like that. And these two women, Ellie and TK, have always done that for each other, push each other's buttons. And I thought it was an interesting whodunit, and a different character than I'd played, too.
There's something I think everyone will recognize in the woman that you play. She's the kind of character who's kind of prim in a way on the surface, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything in its place, beautiful home, not a spot of dust anything. Everything seems perfectly under control. Mm-hmm. The orderly home life, this is all on the surface. We don't know yet what's going on underneath. But I'm wondering who you drew that characterization from, if there was someone in your life. I know there was someone in mine who on the surface really fit that description. Mm-hmm.
No, she's really a composite character. Oftentimes I do use somebody specific, and they're usually members of my family. But Ellie was a composite of several different people that I knew.
What are some of the traits that you brought into that in the composite?
You mean like mannerisms?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff that she was doing with her hair and her hands, a kind of fluttering that I had seen a Southern woman, in fact, do, and I thought it was appropriate.
I have to say that the hairdo that you have in that is so subtly hideous.
Yes, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
What went into the hairdo? Maybe you could describe it. I don't think I'd be very good at this.
Well, I don't know, it's sort of like a flip, you know. I think that I've noticed, in fact, and this is probably true of me as well, that women generally maintain the hairstyle that they liked at the happiest time of their lives. Now, for some people, that's 1967, and they're stuck with beehives and that kind of thing. And then there's still a lot of, Sassoon haircuts walking around. And I think that what I wanted to do with the hair was create a facade, and that it came from probably what Ellie feels was the most successful time of her life, which was early in college when she was a sorority girl, probably in the early to mid-70s.
Now, did you talk with the film's hairdresser about what character you wanted your hair to have?
Yeah. I talked with a wig maker, and she agreed. She was very helpful, and there were two very good hair people on the show, and they managed to maintain it all the time.
Now, another role I particularly enjoyed you in was the movie Parents.
Mm-hmm.
You and Randy Quaid starred as the perfect 50s suburban couple from middle America. You were perfect except for the fact that you made meat out of body parts.
Yes. Little sausage at home.
So the movie was this kind of great perverse comedy about normality.
Uh-huh.
And now you grew up in Iowa, which in our country is like the symbol of middle America and American normality.
Mm-hmm.
Um, Did you think of yourself as coming from a, quote, very normal American home?
Absolutely. And that character was specifically based on my mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, that was her hairdo in the 50s. Yes, I think, and in Iowa, I think one of the most destructive things I learned as I was growing up was that learned or was taught, I don't think it's true, was that there is a normal and we must all strive to be that, which is, I think, sort of the same as hoping you get all C's on your report card. It took me a long time to kind of grow out of that.
What was it that you were exposed to when you were young that made you think you wanted to act?
If this answer sounds a little pat, it's because I've been asked that question a number of times. I was born an actress. I think it's the same kind of thing as I think you're very lucky if you know that. And all that remained for me was to identify acting as a profession. I think it's kind of the same as being. For me, it was kind of the same as being born a girl. You know, you are a girl. I was a girl. I am an actress. I am a girl. No, I am a woman. Anyway, that once I discovered that acting was a profession, that all those people on television weren't really at the Cartwright Ranch, then I immediately said to myself, oh, that's what I am.
Well, how did you know that you were born an actress? What made you realize that?
It was what I always loved to do. You know, I was always pretending, making up stories and fantasizing different characters and forcing my sisters and my friends to play parts in my fantasies. And I had my parents took us to see touring shows in Des Moines, and I still didn't realize that what was going on stage, it's not that I was stupid, I just didn't think about it much, was not really occurring. When I did realize that was I saw a high school play in Marshalltown and saw people that I knew, kids that I knew, pretending to be someone else. And then it all just sort of clicked in my head. And I said, oh, well, that's what I am and that's what I want to do. But I didn't tell anybody for a long time because it's very kind of hard in Marshalltown, Iowa, to tell people that you want to be an actress. It seems like an impossibility.
You know, a lot of times when you're young and you're acting out your fantasies, mm-hmm. you realize some of these fantasies are pretty weird and you maybe shouldn't let a lot of people know that you have.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that happen to you?
Oh, yeah, certainly. And also my sisters ridiculed me for wanting to be an actress. For a while, I was quite sure I was an angel when I was about 8 or 9. And that was something I didn't let a lot of people know.
What kind of angel?
What do you mean, what kind of angel? There's only one kind of angel. I was an angel from heaven.
and what did you want to do as an angel, you know?
Make people happy. You know, I made myself a little shrine in my closet and would go in there at different odd times of the day and sort of meditate.
What did the shrine look like?
I had made a burnt matchstick cross. I don't know if most children have made those at one time in their lives. And it was there, and it was on an orange crate with a little doily or something underneath it and some candles.
Was this hidden from your parents, or did they know about it?
Well, they knew about it. I didn't know they knew about it. But you couldn't miss it if you opened the closet door.
And when did you dismantle it?
I don't think I thought I was an angel for more than about 6 months. Then it was just too hard.
Good. Yeah. Right. So most people who want to be an actor or an actress, it's a kind of passing phase in their life. And even if they continue to want to do it, they don't have the vaguest idea how. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to actually become something like that. Mm-hmm. So what was the course of action you planned for yourself to actually do it?
Well, I was the same as most people, you know. I just felt that I wanted to do it, and I felt that I could do it. I went to the University of Iowa and got a teaching certificate in theater and art to please my parents. And then I came to the School of the Arts in New York, which is now the Tisch School of the Arts, and which is a practical acting school, which helps to give you a craft. And then I got married right out of school, and we went to London for a year and came back. And I went to work in a store because I was afraid that if I auditioned, I would be turned down, and I didn't think that I wanted to go through that. So finally, I started buying the newspaper show business and backstage, and I went to an audition way uptown someplace. It was an off-off-off-Broadway theater. And I was cast as, I was 24 at the time, and I was cast as a 50-year-old drunk, alcoholic woman. And a little light bulb went off in my head and said, if they're going to cast you as this, you can get cast as something else. So I turned the job down and started auditioning.
Why did you turn the job down?
It wasn't a very good part. And also, even in my own head, at 24, I looked very young, and I thought, I'm wrong for this part. You know, it was silly for me to play this part.
And how soon did it take to get a role that you thought you were right for?
Not too much longer.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is actress Mary Beth Hurt, and she stars in the new movie Defenseless. We'll talk more after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Actress Mary Beth Hurt is my guest. Now, you mentioned you were married when you started performing. You were married. That was your first marriage. You were married to an actor, to William Hurt.
Mm.
I'm just curious if it's difficult to be an actor married to an actor when you're both getting started, if there's a lot of competition within the relationship.
Yes, it was extremely hard for us, and it didn't work.
Because I'm part of the competition?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think probably, especially in acting, it's a profession that leaves you vulnerable to every insecurity because there's always people judging you.
Yeah, and I think I think being any kind of an artist, whether you're a painter or a poet or a musician or an actor, requires, or at least exhibits, a certain neurosis. I don't think that painters see color in the same way that I see color. I don't think that composers hear music in the way that I hear music. And I think that actors are probably sort of hyper-acute emotionally, and that makes it very hard for them to sustain a relationship, certainly with each other.
As an actress, what are some of the things that you think you see when you look at other people that other people don't see about themselves?
I don't think it's that they don't see it about themselves. I think that each person knows themselves better than anybody else could possibly know themselves or know them. And what I see may, in fact, be a projection of what I'm feeling, not what they are actually feeling. But what I believe I sense is more of the subtext than say, someone who is not an actor feels. More of the fire underneath, the emotion underneath.
You're married to the director and screenwriter, Paul Schrader.
Yeah.
I wonder if you feel like you've learned anything about acting by either watching him work or talking at length about making movies.
Yeah, we just worked together for the first time. I swore I would never do it again. He's shot a film this summer called Light Sleeper, which he also wrote, and I play a psychic in it. And I was very reluctant to do it because who I am as an actress on stage or on a film set or any kind of a set is very different from who I am as an individual. I am much more demanding as an actress. I have a much shorter temper. And I was concerned that it would make me, that being married to the director would make me self-conscious, less able to work in the way that I like to work. It wasn't a terrible experience, I guess I would do it again. But I think in a way, I was right. I was somewhat inhibited by his being the director, and I think he was probably somewhat inhibited by my being the actress.
Did you feel less enthusiastic about demanding what you felt you needed?
I just knew in the back of my head at all times that I was going home with this man at night, and I didn't want to take what might have been going on during the day home.
Yeah. So are there things that you think you've learned from each other by...
There's a lot of things that I've learned from Paul. He's the most honest person I know, not just the most honest man I know. I've learned a lot of stuff about theater, not theater, about film. And I suppose he's learned quite a bit about theater from me. We have kind of the same sense of humor and tend very much to like the same sort of things. It isn't like we sit down and have long film discussions. We don't really do that. The only problem with Paul is that he falls asleep in all of my performances. It's not just my performances. He falls asleep in every single ballet, opera, concert, even rock concerts. The middle of the concert, he'll fall asleep. He gets about, 10, 20-minute nap, and then he wakes up again. It's very aggravating.
Oh, gee, I think I'd get pretty offended.
Well,
no. He's falling asleep during my performance, yeah.
Yeah, that's just what he does.
Well, I wish you the best, and I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Mary Beth Hurt co-stars in the new film Defenseless. This is Fresh Air.